Cat Figure Podcast, episode 57. We've obtained exclusive audio of Susan Waldman and Hawk Harrelson meeting. Hawk comes right out and says it, and the start is, "You gotta be bleeping me," meaning, "Come on, baby." And the start is,
"Oh, look at this, beautiful.
You gotta be bleeping me."
Okay, let's do it.
I know when to go under the table.
That's hard to believe.
I've been doing this for a long time. Let's get it.
Wow! Stretch! Stretch!
Oh, my goodness gracious!
Stretch!
Things I've ever seen.
Yes! 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 Yes!
That's the will to win.
Try to be best, cause you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to take it. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you gotta hang tough to make it. History repeats itself, try and you succeed. Never doubt that you're the one, and you can have.
Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. It's recording Tom. The episode's live and we're starting now. Cat Figure Podcast episode. Cat Figure Podcast episode 57. That was great sexual audio. I know. Sorry to hear my voice after you were so aroused, listeners at home, by Hawk going, "Yes, stretch."
That's some exclusive content.
That's
you
very
got
exclusive.
There.
I'm
Your
Ryan DiPolo. Yes, yeah, my dad snuck a. He was in Chicago for work and he got stuck it in Hawk's nose. I'm Ryan DiPolo. Who are you?
Tom McLaughlin.
All right, so this is episode 57. Before we get to all types of blazing baseball action, I'm sorry that I stopped you from typing. I said, "Tom, we're recording," as if you couldn't type and record at the same time.
I'm capable of doing whatever I want.
You're not my father. You're not my dad. You're not the dad of me. You just got back from Houston. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. I'm all over the place. Who are some baseball players who wore number 57? I imagine, in fact, that is what you were typing.
Actually, I had that all set to
go.
Oh, all
right. Sorry.
So, you know, just respect right. The game.
My bad.
Back off a little.
My bad.
The player who wore 57 the most number of years is K-Rod, and that is at 14 years. He pitched for the Angels, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, both teams, Milwaukee Brewers, Baltimore Orioles, and Detroit Tigers.
And the Mets. You don't
K-Rod,
see Mets?
He didn't wear that number with the Mets.
Oh, yeah. The real K-Rod's, I thought he played more than 14 years, but that's the years with the number.
Yeah.
Remember when they signed him? It was like a big, it was like after Billy Wagner left in 06, 07. It was almost the reverse of what the Astros did with Ken Giles. It was after the window was about to close of the Mets. It's like, let's get a closer, but too late.
You mean like the Giants just did?
Yes, actually, that's perfect. Just like your boy Melanson.
Marky Mark.
But now K-Rod, well, actually, he sucks this year. I was going to say, they cut him?
Yeah.
Breaking news, the Tigers cut him.
It's like 2 weeks ago.
That's crazy. Well, it's breaking news for me. So,
Other than that,
was really bad this year, but he's been so good. Last year, he was amazing out of nowhere.
Other than that, we got Johan Santana, another Met. So, the numbers, Randy Johnson wore 57 for 1 year with the Montreal Expos.
Oh, I was about to say, like, that's your boy. How is he not the first?
But he was 51 most of the time.
Anyone else? Any current players since K-Rod's out of the league?
Luke Gregerson.
Oh,
Jake McGee.
Who's that? The old Jake McGee, bro. Jake McGee was Greg Holland before Greg Holland. What you know about that?
Yeah, didn't they get
him? They traded
for
Dickerson.
Dickerson.
And now Dickerson's a Hall of Famer and
first ballot.
No, I mean he's an all-star and Jake McGee still stinks. In a way though, Greg Holland being so good this year and the Rockies being good somewhat to me vindicated their decision to buy a closer, right?
Yeah.
Even though they had to trade a great young outfielder or a great young hitter. He sucks as an outfielder. And he is more useful to an AL team, yes, but it's the reverse. The closer is less useful to the Rockies, I thought. But this year, Greg Holland sort of vindicated that for me. And now they have a good lefty and a good righty in their bullpen, and they're good. All right, So the All-Star ballots got finalized, right?
Yes, sir.
What were we wrong about? We went through, like, who we would vote for and who was winning at the time. Did anything change from when we did that episode? I remember you and I debating Gary Sanchez and Salvador Perez. I must say, told you so. Now, I'm sort of trolling you, but Salvador Perez won by a lot.
Yeah.
Even though Gary Sanchez is on a much better pace, and it's because Salvador Perez played more games and he's like a workhorse and he's a slave.
He's a slave to the system of Kansas City.
But Gary Sanchez did make what? The home run derby?
He did.
Over our boy Rogan Morrison.
And I think Sanchez is the backup on the team.
Okay. So what happened with this Logan Morrison, Gary Sanchez beef?
So Gary Sanchez has 12 or 13 home runs. He missed a month and a half. He got invited to the All-Star game. Meanwhile, Logan Morrison has 24 home runs over the course of the whole season. So Logan Morrison, upon this decision to include Gary Sanchez instead of him, basically like told the media, I had 12 home runs like a month and a half ago, like trolling Gary Sanchez.
Oh, really?
Sanchez.
He said that?
Yeah.
Did he say his name or he only said that?
Yeah, he said I had like 12 home runs like a month ago and it was...
But he didn't not use his name. Like, he used Gary Sanchez's
name.
He knew,
yeah, yeah.
That's cool, man.
And then Gary, through his translator, came back at him and said, it's not my fault. And what he meant was, it's not my fault I'm a superstar and you're playing in Tampa Bay.
Yo, it's not my fault I'm this good. If you was this good, you would have haters, too. That's so annoying that Gary Sanchez has to have a translator. Right? Yeah. He looks like a Dominican from Washington Heights. Just learn English enough to get by, you know? He has 13 home runs. I'm like, I don't want translators. Hawk Harrelson, actually, I saw a clip about Hawk doesn't believe there should be translators on the mound, which actually sort of is a legitimate point. What do you think of that, allowing translators to go to mound visits? I actually would consider being for that, just like we play poker, both of us. And you're not allowed to talk in any other language besides English at the poker table because you could be colluding. I don't know. Not that there's any collusion going on in a pitcher meeting, but you could say these are the rules of the game. Only one person can visit the mound, translators included. But then you're probably – you want as many international talents if you're Major League Baseball, obviously, to draw fans from around the world. So if it would hurt that in any way, you wouldn't go for it?
Yeah, I don't think I would go for that. I mean, I think that the bigger question...
How about having a therapist with you go to the mound?
You,
have horrible, crippling anxiety.
That's fine. Roberto
seriously,
Osuna
would that be okay?
Needs that. Yeah, that'd be fine. Bring whoever you want. But you can only go out five times.
Everyone
the
has
whole
a plus
game.
One for the mound visits.
You can go with whoever you want.
Girlfriend, anyone?
You could bring the Cracker Jack salesman, whoever you want. But you can only go five times during the course of the game.
Are they making that rule that you can only visit the mound a finite times? How about the catcher visiting the pitcher? That's what it was they're talking about.
But I think that should be included, too. You can have five powwows.
And
that's it.
With a plus one.
And then just put microphones in the catcher's mask and through the ear of the pitcher.
Dude, they should do that like the UN translators.
Yeah, like what is wrong? Why can't you do that? Same with the robotic strike zone. Like they both clearly would help the game right now.
Oh, you're not even being sarcastic.
No,
you
I'm
really
not.
Think
like,
they could
I really
do that?
Think they should do that. Yeah, because like it's ridiculous. Wilson Contreras, every time there's a bad pitch, goes out to the mound.
Oh, you mean
it's
unbelievable. From the yeah.
Microphone
from the catcher to the pitcher. Yes.
Yeah, and then the manager can listen in on it. They do it in football.
Football, exactly. It's like you're absolutely right.
It's not like a hard process. Like all of this technology is readily available.
The only thing I could think is that pitchers, you know, they could get killed with a line drive, and yet they didn't want to wear this helmet hat because it looked goofy and made them feel different. Maybe they would say, oh, this headset makes me feel different. But put it in your pocket.
Who gives a shit?
Yeah, put it in your pocket and take it out when you want to talk.
That's idiotic.
Also,
throw the ball.
Also, their ability to throw is not the issue. It's the game. It's the speed, the action in the game.
Yeah, and
we need balls in play, bro.
I mean, the whole thing about, like, the uncomfort or whatever, like, I'm almost positive that they have, like, earpieces that literally you can just put in. You probably don't even feel it. Like,
like the CIA
technology
or Secret Service
is,
guys.
Like, not the problem.
Yeah.
The problem is, like, I don't know. So, I mean, I think the players' union was against some of these moves to, like, speed up the pace of play.
It's funny. For how good their union is, they have been I don't understand some things that they oppose, right? Like, I understand, obviously, steroid testing, for example. People are like, oh, why wouldn't the union want steroid testing? The non-cheaters want to get rid of the cheaters, is the thought process.
Like,
but
yeah.
It's you're agreeing to have your constituency have blood drawn from them and stuff like that, right?
All the time. Yeah.
Right. It's not...
It's
something,
inconvenient. Yeah.
Yeah. It's you are representing them. So stuff like that, I understand fully. But with the change of the pace of play, it affects everybody. It's not like they're losing out against management, right? It's not like some situation where some players are going to have their contracts voided, like the steroid thing. This is all of them would be equally affected. Why would they want to not help facilitate the industry that is making them rich?
The only, I guess, explanation would be that the union sees this as a way, like as a bargaining chip they could concede to the owners, like because the owners know that
they
need
just
to
have leverage on anything, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Or maybe the fear is that, well, these new rules will, the veterans are going to have to adjust, and this will allow younger players to learn it quicker, and then there's less late career contracts, right? That like anything that's making the game younger is bad for the players union.
Yeah, so you're saying that the younger players would have some sort of edge because
they'll be
been
coming
trained
up
this way.
Right. Same with the pitch clock is in the minors, and that's coming up, and so
that's
I could
fair.
See some fear. This is the I've never thought that through. I just
that's fair. But
yeah, that's the only legitimate reason I could consider.
It's
that's
a,
just
it's
a
absurd.
Fear. They got to write it out.
Look. Do you need to step outside of the batter's box more than once per at-bat? No. Like,
do
you
I
need
do.
35
I need
seconds?
I need to do a Noma and tap my feet like a crackhead.
I don't think it actually, like, if you change the rules, I don't think many of those players would actually just even be upset about it. It's just that they can do that right now, so they just naturally, like, do that. If you force them to do something differently,
I agree.
Then they'll have to adjust.
Yeah, I agree. It's sort of a similar thing with quick pitching. It's like you technically can do it, but it's just up to the umps to call it or not, right? And so when you see, I tweeted at Addison Reed, it was so awesome. Odubel Herrera does his whole crap, and he said deliberately likes to take so long to get in the batter's box between pitches, and Addison Reed quick pitched him for strike two. And then he struck out in the at-bat. What is that? You feeling the AC? Or are you telling me to pause?
I'm tightening my wristbands. I'm saying pause,
Tom
time
was holding
out.
His palm up to the ump like Derek Jeter when he gets in the batter's box and puts
Hold
his
up.
Hand behind him.
Hold
I
up.
Thought he was
I
telling
to,
me to shut up.
I need to address the situation. Like, I need to scope out the opponent.
You were in Houston, man. How was that? You went to a Houston Yankees game.
Yeah, it was great. McCullers started against Pineda. The stadium is amazing.
Is
the
it?
Astros Stadium
Why?
Is
What's nice
the best
about
baseball
it?
Stadium I've ever been to.
Details, bro.
So just like as somebody who really likes the game and likes paying attention, like their scoreboard had the perfect pieces of information. Like you go to the Yankees game and you see like, you know, pitch speed, the count, but then there's like a huge picture of the guy. There they had like OPS, exit velocity, pitch type.
Really?
Like they had the full lineups of both. And then there was a second like full screen scoreboard on one other side. So like people who had an obstructed view of the main scoreboard could actually look at that one.
Where
and
is
the
main scoreboard?
Thing.
In center field above where the hill used to be?
Right center.
But weren't you in? You were in left field. So if you're sitting in right center, where do you look? Above left field head?
Like towards where we were sitting, it was.
So you were
high.
Tom was in first row in left field, right?
Yeah, they're called the Crawford boxes.
Why? Who's Crawford?
That's the name of the street that the entrance for those boxes is on.
It's an old rich plantation
Crawford
owner in the
street.
South. It's like Mr. Crawford Street.
Crawford Street.
Yo, I'm looking, Tom, just handing me a picture. I'm going to try to do theater of the mind, and I see all the relevant stats. Yes, the photo is little. It doesn't need to be so giant. Let me see this. That's cute. Who are those numbers they have retired? I don't know anything about Astros history, man.
Like Jeff Bagwell, Craig Biggio.
Yo, Craig Biggio, Mike Francesa got in arguments with callers for about a month of content. To be fair, he has to fill 5 hours a day, but he used it for 2 months of content. Callers were calling saying, Joe in the Bronx, Mike, Craig Biggio is absolutely a Hall of Famer. You're crazy. I don't know how you think the guy's a bum. He has the most doubles of anybody. He hit over 300 10 years. He had a bunch of steal. He played great defense. And Mike was like, look, I got nothing against him, okay? I just think that you got to be dominant if you're a Hall of Famer, right? His prime wasn't that good. And Mike was right, yet again, when he's verbally abusing idiot callers, 80% of the time he's right, however hard it is to admit it.
That's true.
What else about the stadium was cool?
It's the
funny dichotomy that there's the dichotomy is like opposing things, right?
Well,
is that what that means? Wait,
I think so.
I'm in the middle of points.
Dichotomy,
dick face. So there's the dichotomy, the tracheectomy between retard fat Mexicans with Tweety Bird shirts that I told Tom that's how I picture people in Houston, right? All with the boardwalk Tweety Bird or Taz tattoos.
Somebody in my family loves me and bought me this t-shirt.
Like
fake handprint.
Oh my god. Oh my god, dude. All fat, like people with ugly cargo shorts and stuff. But it's them as opposed, and then the whatever word I'm trying to use, with all these advanced stats on the scoreboard. That's pretty cool. I would think a city like Chicago or like Seattle would be the first to have that cool scoreboard.
Well, you have to remember, Houston still does have like a lot of rich people. The city itself sucks.
I guess you're right. There's good segregation still going on down there,
like,
right?
There's a lot of people like...
There's a nice little white part.
Yeah, they're poking holes in the ground and then burning fossil fuels. So they make a lot of money.
So wait, I interrupted you. What else is good about the stadium?
So besides those people destroying human civilization...
Yeah, did you go in the oil tycoon section at all, or could you see it? Or
look,
were they shaded?
Look, Houston... this is a little bit of a tangent, but Houston had nothing to do. We were in the downtown area. We literally went to a mall one day. For the day. Like, we went to a mall because there was nothing else to do. Like, there were more bail bond, mattress, liquor stores. Like, there was a full high-rise building, like 80 floors high. Every window was, like, smashed and there was graffiti on it. Completely vacant.
In the middle of downtown?
In the middle of downtown.
Oh, my God. That's so sad, these fake downtowns that are just, like, a shell of a building and then the stadium is all of it. That's like,
yeah.
St. Louis, my dad says, that... When there's a Cardinals game, everyone's like, oh, you got to be here for a Cardinals game. And he said, yeah, it's cool then. But then as soon as the game is over that night, there is nothing to do. Like, the city
yep.
dies.
That's
it's just
what
a
we
bunch
had.
Of houses with, like, it's like, I'm such an arrogant New Yorker. You know, we live in the capital of the planet, literally. Maybe Hong Kong is passing us. But
Hong
I'm a little
Kong.
Jaded growing
Crazy.
Up here, right? Well, I don't know.
Clown. Hong Kong.
It's like some buzzword city to name. I don't really know
the
anything.
Super chic Asian city named Hong Kong where they trade derivatives and
I heard China's coming up.
I heard that's popping. I'm telling you, my broker told me to get in on that.
Yo, he told me if you could get into China, you got to put money in China. That's the future, right? But so I don't even remember my point. What was my point going to be?
I think that the point was that, yes, Houston was the same way, where during the game, the town and that area was amazing, but we stayed in a hotel three blocks from there, and all the time that the game wasn't going on, it was actually scary.
You're right, that was my point, that it's these bootleg ass, like, Phoenix is these... empty, these vacant couple of like four fucking buildings with office space that's not full, and that's their downtown, and then it's just a bunch of houses.
Yeah, and they
get out of here with your scrub ass city.
When we
fat asses,
when we were driving,
it's the fattest
in
city in the country,
Houston.
Yeah, or it's a second to I think Phoenix or somewhere in Arizona.
That makes sense because when we were at the mall, I actually tried to find a fruit in the food court, and it was very difficult. Everything was a barbecue.
You should have taken some fat B-roll and sold it to news stations. You know, the fat B-roll when they do a story about obesity, and it's just fat people walking down the street, but their heads are cut off and their feet are cut off.
Okay.
You should have taken some fat B-roll.
Damn.
All right. So, anyway.
But the stadium, what's his name? Orbit, I think his name
is the mascot.
He's actually like really hilarious.
He's actually really cool, and we hung out.
Really cool. He was like
what
moonwalking
was
on the
dugout,
the dugout top, and they have like these like Texas folk songs that he like gets up on stage in costume and like the whole crowd sings it.
Oh, that's
it's
cool.
Like, deep in the heart of Texas, and like everybody's singing it, and Orbit has cowboy boots and a vest on.
It's funny, the rich people in Texas that control it, I forget about them, they have convinced everybody else who they need to leech off of that they should have this Texas pride, and that's all they do in Texas is say, like, man, ain't no place like Texas.
Everything's bigger in Texas.
And they have some law that they reference that they can, like, secede from the U.S. and, like, be their own martial law. So they got them pretty good there. How are the fans?
There's no gun signs. Like, there are signs when you go into buildings that are like, please leave your firearms outside.
Do you think anybody respects that? Like, no. It's like, why would you? No. You have a license to get. Man, I got a license to get. Obama want to take my gun. Obama put that sign
you
up.
Better take my coupon.
Take my guns away, man.
You better take my coupon.
Yo, take my coupon. I got my gun. I'll do what I want. All right. Seriously, how are the fans, though?
The fans were good, actually. Like, we were sitting in, like, an area that the tickets are more expensive. But, like, the people were actually, like, nice. Like, it wasn't going to an Eagles game. It was sort of the opposite. People, like, respected you, but the fans knew about baseball. Like, Chris Carter came back for the game we were at, and, like, all the other people in my section who had Astro stuff on were like, they knew that Chris Carter had been, like,
cut,
called back up to the Yankees, which, like, happened that afternoon. So they're obviously, like, they keep up with baseball.
Yeah, that's
which
cool.
I respect.
And,
yeah.
And I guess if you set a city up with a scoreboard like that and build your franchise to be so number oriented, maybe you'll get a smart fan base. That surprises me because I really hate on the South and I make fun of it, but who knows? You'll know what I say. What the hell else was I going to ask you?
I don't know.
Say something.
Yankees are a dumpster fire.
Yeah, they cut Chris Carter, signed him back for that game. He struck out with guys on second and third and nobody out, and they were down by one in the early innings. Then they caught him again, right?
Yep.
A couple games later.
Now he's gone.
Now he's dead. He disintegrated.
Now he popped.
You can only get cut a couple times and you don't exist anymore.
Won't miss him.
What about Greg Bird? Is he doing any better?
Well, he keeps getting injured, and it's like, I think it's just a psychological problem at this point. Like, I think earlier this year really messed with his head.
Ankles be doing that, too. I mean, not mess with your psyche, but they linger, right?
Yeah.
And then you could re-aggravate it.
Greg Bird.
All right, so that was your trip to Houston. How many ballparks have you been to in the country, you think?
Me?
Yeah.
Major league parks?
Yeah, yeah. How many
leagues?
Major leagues?
Not that many major league parks. I've been to the Giants, the Yankees, the Mets, the Marlins, the Astros, the Padres.
Phillies,
yes.
You've never been to Fenway, right? We need to go.
Haven't been to a game at Fenway, so seven.
And which is the nicest of all of them? The Mets.
Honestly, I think that Houston's was the nicest. Like, Minute Maid Park, they did a phenomenal job.
It looks
job.
Really cool, and I don't think anybody realized it until they got good, honestly, right?
Well, it's just, like, it's got, like, a lot of unique things.
Right,
like,
that's what makes a stadium good, like we've talked about, is that unique character, not having, like, I can't describe how mad I am that Atlanta built that generic cookie-cutter piece of shit-ass-looking minor league stadium, right?
I mean, the Yankee Stadium is very disappointing to me as
well.
Yeah,
because
it's
too...
It has no style.
It's too symmetrical. Yeah, exactly.
Like, Houston, left field looks entirely different than right field. They have a train track
right on
left field, and then, you know, it's really sweet after the game. They open up the roof, and then they have fireworks
in left field,
which is awesome. And then you move... We had to move from our seats behind the plate to open up the roof to, like, shoot the fireworks, but it was amazing.
That's
like,
really cool, yeah, and we've talked about it, having different dimensions on different sides of the park. Like, even the Marlins Park, which happens to just be hideous, and that statue looks like North Korea, like, that I would take over the Yankee Stadium to some extent, or Atlanta, because of the cookie-cutterness. So I wish, it sucks that they got rid of the hill. Again, we've talked about this too, but I wish they could still, like, if you want to really go all out with uniqueness, maybe that was their thinking. Like, yo, let's just be totally ridiculous and go all out with, like, little nooks and crannies and actually have, like, a sand trap in the middle of our field.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of sweet. I mean, I know that it poses like very significant risks because if you're running full speed.
What was there any reason why it was built?
No. I think they thought it looked cool.
That's awesome. Actually,
yeah,
I kind of miss it now. All right, so
bring back the hill.
Let's go on. The trade deadline is when? Like a couple weeks after the All-Star
game? July 31st.
All right, and Manny Machado sucks donkey balls this year, right?
Yeah, I think that the one point I want to bring up about the All-Star deadline is the Orioles will be a very interesting team if they are indeed not in it. You have Manny Machado, who is a free agent after next season. Zach Britton is a free agent after next season as well. Jonathan Scope has 2 years left. They've been playing him at shortstop, so
he's very sellable.
A lot of value. And the Orioles have sort of boxed themselves into a really bad corner. They owe Chris Davis $140 million still.
They owe him that much? Oh, it was $175 when they signed it.
Yeah, and this is the second year of that deal.
Yeah, you hated that deal right when he signed it. You hated it.
And you look at the way that the team has spent historically, they're not going to have
the money. They're not signing Manny Machado.
They may sign maybe one of those three, and I think it might be Scope. But I think they're going to lose Britton and Machado. So,
well, you say one of those three as if they're equal. Scope is going to get one third of the amount of Manny Machado.
Right. Yeah.
Do you think there's no chance they would keep Machado?
I don't see how they can do it. Like, I think he's going to get $300 million. And I think, you know, a team who has never given anyone more than $100 million until they gave Davis $160, I just don't think it's there. And I think, you know, Manny is sort of fed up there too as well. He should have been a shortstop, and they put him at third base.
But why would he care? I mean, and what does that have to do with?
Because I think he wants to play shortstop.
Yeah,
like, you know, he's a great athlete on the biggest stage. Like, he can play shortstop, and every time they've like let him, he's loved doing it. So,
yeah,
you know, you're first of all, you have the leverage over the organization. It's a smaller market team, and they're telling you kind of to do something you don't want to do. So it becomes much more attractive to say, like, hey, why don't I go to like a super team in Chicago or New York?
I didn't really think about, I guess it would be just like in fantasy that his value, just like in fantasy baseball, his value is obviously as a shortstop. When you draft him, he's eligible at shortstop and third base, and you put him at shortstop because that's a weaker position. You think real life, you're talking as if you're assuming real life is the same, that any team trading for him would put him at shortstop pretty much.
I don't know that any team necessarily would, but I know that it's something he wants to do. So it's another point where, you know, if you're in free agent negotiations, like, and other teams say to you, like, we'll let you play shortstop, that can be very valuable to him.
What do you think most teams would want to do with him? Like, and what is, obviously he's more valuable potentially as a shortstop, but I don't know.
I mean, I think the Yankees would stick him at third base, just because I think they have a lot of confidence in DD. I mean, I think he obviously has a ton of value at third base. But, you know, like, let him try for 40 games to play shortstop, and if it works, then it's an upgrade over having a great third baseman, because then you could get another great bat in at third base.
Well, the issue is now, though, that he sucks. Like, what? Maybe that's good for them. Maybe if he keeps sucking, well, it's actually not good for them, but if he stays at the rate he is this season, he's really doing horribly. He's batting, I think, 200. His OPS is below 700.
Yeah.
And he was amazing last season and even the years before, and always a great defender. If he stays at this rate, you're selling low on somebody that everybody knows that is amazing. So maybe it wouldn't be that low because everybody knows how good he can be. But second,
right,
if he stays this bad, his contract will decrease.
For sure.
And maybe it's like you get to a point where it's reverse gambling, where it's like, all right, we're going to keep him because we think he's going to stay bad, and then we can afford him.
I think
that would ever happen?
I think it's a very unlikely scenario.
Tell me that's stupid, Ryan.
No, I think it's a fair point, right? If he continues to struggle the next 2 years, yeah, he's not a $300 million player, but he has been second in the league in the amount of batted balls that have an exit velocity over 95 miles an hour. He's hitting the ball hard. He's just not hitting it enough.
Right, and we've talked about that he's trying to hit too many fly balls. After a year in which he hit 37 homers, there's no need for an adjustment, Manny.
And I think he's one of those players just based on track record, like, you're never going to get a totally risk-free player, but I think almost any GM would roll the dice with him.
Duh, this goes without saying, Dingy. Where is he going to go, though? What are you thinking? You mentioned the Cardinals.
Yeah,
what?
I think the St. Louis Cardinals are an interesting team.
Why?
I think that they're a team that has the payroll flexibility to pay him. It's a great baseball city.
Well, just by the way, they have a lower payroll than the Orioles. The Orioles are ninth, and the Cardinals are 15th this year. You know, about league average is $150 million.
Right.
Orioles 175, Cardinals 150.
That's a fair point. I think that the problem is that the Davis and Trumbo contracts are extended for like so many years that it's like the Cardinals are going to have money come off the books between now and then. The Orioles won't have as much.
No, yeah, that's fine.
I think that's it's an attractive organization for a player to want to go to. I think they also sort of have the young pieces to make a trade that the Orioles would be interested in.
But why the Cardinals? Why are they looking for a shortstop? Are they in contention? Or just because they could because they can sign him?
Yeah,
and if they can sign
him,
then why bother trading for him?
Well, if you can get him now, then you know you have him. Maybe you don't think you can sign him on an open market, but you get him in-house for, you know, a year and a half, and you can kind of have those like exclusive negotiation talks for
right.
a contract extension.
Why not the Yankees do that then? You keep saying the Yankees are going to get him.
I think that
Headley sucks.
Yeah, no, the Yankees make a ton of sense, and I think the problem is the Orioles wouldn't want to trade him in division right now.
What do you think about that in general, and why right now? Well, I never really agree with thinking about the division. Maybe teams really do that, but I think it's stupid.
I agree. I think it's stupid, but I think that just the message you would be sending is like, you know, you're giving up your franchise player to the team in the division. It's just a hard sell to the fan base.
That's
organization,
a good point.
Like, if the GM is on a tight rope anyway, and then, like, he does this and the fans freak out, like, he's gone. You know, so it becomes sort of like, you know, all things equal, yeah, you would never want to cut the amount of teams you're negotiating
teams. If the fans freak out, he's not gone, necessarily.
The GM? Probably. I mean, because then what, like,
I think you're painting a picture that they can't be on that thin ice, that, like, they make a ridiculously big trade like that, and then...
Well,
I
just think it's something like the fans may not renew their season tickets if you lose that player.
It's a legitimate issue that the fans will be like, what the hell are you doing? But that, I don't think that owners can be that fickle. I don't think that's reality, that they would be like...
It happens. Like, those situations definitely happen.
I guess so. I mean, that would be the worst, to be the guy, like, I know I can't think of an example, but GMs who do the hard work of selling off pieces and then not getting to do the build back up again part, you know?
Yeah.
Like, not getting to reap the rewards.
Yeah, it's a cruel business. But, you know, like, from an owner's perspective, like, so, it could just be something like he hates the Yankees so much, like, he just can't bear to even think about that. Like, we don't know.
What? Who else is a big trade? Like, who else could potentially be traded? And who would the Yankees even trade for him? Pretend they were willing to do it. How big of a price? Or you could pick any team. How big of a price is it for Manny Machado?
I mean,
for a year and a half, basically rental.
Using the Yankees as an example, I mean, I would say probably Gleyber Torres and Clint Frazier.
Yeah, like, so two huge prospects.
Yeah, or maybe...
For just a year and a half of him?
Yeah.
I mean, guess you're right, because he's...
Like, he would make them over.
He sucks this year. I think that matters right now. You don't think so? You think everybody knows how good he is and that it doesn't really matter?
I mean, who else can you get at the trade deadline who's, like, going to be as big of an impact as him.
Well, Travis Shaw this year, he's a bigger impact than Manny Machado.
The Brewers are 8 games ahead in the division.
Yeah, but they're looking whatever.
Machado
is
a superstar player. Like,
yeah, but he sucks this year. You're like ignoring that.
No, but he has a 7-year track record. Like, he could very easily turn it on and be like an absolutely dominant player who wins you a World Series, which is what you're hoping
for. Career OPS is 798. Not as good as I thought.
Gold Glove third baseman.
Nah, he's a bitch. No, I'm kidding. Let's see. His stats this year are he's hitting 212, 215. He has an OPS of 700.
Look at the last 2 years.
No, I know. 876, 861. I know he's been great, and he's playing shortstop and third base. Then his first 3 years were 739, 746, 755, which at third base is not that good.
But he also played those at age 19 and 20.
Yeah, no, that's all fair. Before his prime, he's 25 right now. Entering what is your prime is 25 to 30 in baseball. I don't like him. I would not give up. Honestly, this year is scaring me. And maybe it's unfair because of how good he was last year, but for whatever reason, I can't put my finger on it, I don't like him. I drafted him first overall in our league, and I said, like, man, I feel bad about this pick. I know this is all rhetorical BS, but I just – this doesn't feel like Bryce Harper last year to me. This feels like somebody who sucks. I don't know. Like, Carlos Gomez had 2 amazing seasons and then reverted back to who he was. But he whatever, I don't know.
Yeah, I disagree with that. I mean, he was the number one pick. He has the pedigree, the track record. We don't know. That's obviously the point. But
all right,
I would roll the dice with him any day. Yeah.
Who's going to win the home run derby?
Justin Bour.
Do you care about the home run derby? I don't even know who's in it, man.
Aaron Judge, Gary Sanchez, Justin Bour, Giancarlo Stanton, Charlie Blackman.
By the way, thank God the fans put in Marcelo Zuna above stupid-ass Giancarlo Centaur Stanton, right? And
yeah,
they put in Zach Cozart above Corey Seager, which I could see the case be like, oh, put the young star, blah, blah, blah. But both those players were less famous than the opponent, and the fans voted right.
I'm glad that Jason Hayward didn't make the team.
Yo, no Cubs except Wade Davis made the team.
Good. They're not that good this year.
You know, Kyle Schwarber was in top 10 for outfield voting in the All-Star rankings.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that is.
They love him in Chicago.
They should. I mean, he's one of them. He looks like a fat Chicagoan deep dish pizza. Like, you're the Cubs are good. I can't do a Chicago.
I'm deep dish and I'm a bambino. I'm a hit it over the scoreboard.
Mike Ditker. And the final vote was Justin Turner and Mike Moustakas. Justin Turner, which Kenley Jansen was like, called out the fans like a retard, was like, man, I don't understand it. These fans got a vote. He'd never been an All-Star. Did you hear this? He basically was like, I don't understand why our fans don't vote that much. It's not fair. They should vote more for him. And it's like, whatever you're saying is true, you dick face, but don't just shut up.
Don't rock the boat.
Like, you exist because fans exist. Don't tell us what to do.
Yeah.
If nobody watched your dumbass, you wouldn't make millions of dollars.
I still can't believe Chris Bryant didn't win that vote.
I would have,
if I were handicapping the odds of that final vote,
yeah,
like, I would have made him, like, minus 300.
I agree. No, it's amazing that he beat out Chris Bryant. I'm shocked. Last year's MVP, last year's...
He's like number one prospect,
number
MVP,
one, super huge
World
prospect,
Series
MVP,
exactly, rookie of the year.
And
like,
he's having a good year. He's having a better, I think he has a better on base percentage than Justin Turner maybe still
in
this season.
Yeah, in a team that literally just won the World Series with a huge fan base. But, hey.
Chris Bryant's on base is 391, and let me see where Justin Turner is. If this is more, I'm going to actually be mad at Kenley Jansen for lobbying for his dumbass guy. How about Xander Bogaerts almost won? I got scared that Bogaerts was going to win.
Oh, Xander is the best.
The fans would have been retards.
You watch him and he just makes plays. That's all he does. Him and Petey up the middle.
What do you think about Wade Davis being very ugly?
He's not that ugly.
I think he's very ugly looking.
He's got a little trucker going on.
You remember that fan who caught the ball in the World Series? Or it was the ALCS against the Blue Jays, and he reached over, and it was an iffy call, and he caught a ball for the Royals.
Yep.
You do?
I think I know what you're talking about.
Well, he looked like that bit online, the piece where it's like, who ever seen Leprechaun say yeah? Yeah! The black leprechaun, the leprechaun in the black neighborhood.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, my God. Yo, it's so there's a leprechaun sighting in Mobile, Alabama. And it's like they go interview these people and he's like, I want to know where to go that. And then some other guy, some woman was like, could be a crackhead. And then they have an amateur sketch of the leprechaun, and that looks like that kid, hideous as Wade Davis almost.
Okay.
Very random tangent.
That's good.
So let's look at Turner's on-base percentage. 475. Is that possible?
Yeah.
Okay, so
he's better, like, game for game, but he also missed a substantial portion of the season.
Wait, how is... Oh, that's why he's not on the list of the leaders, because he's not eligible for the amount of at-bats he's had, right?
Yeah, dummy.
Riri, all right, bye. We're rambling.
Bye.
Yo, leave a review. Tell us what you want to talk about.
Bye.
Miguel Sano's lips. I hate it every time I scroll by. He's all Vaseline'd up. All right, you're done, Tom. I'm going to keep talking. Welcome to the Ryan After Show of the Cap Figure Podcast. My name is Ryan. Who are you? I'm Ryan. So, Xander Bogaerts and Dexter Fowler, Cody Bellinger, Robinson Cano. I don't know why I'm adding this to the episode. The episode's over, so just stop listening now. This is nothing worth listening. And just taking up space on my computer. Here we are. Oh my God, did you know Mike Moustakas is second in baseball in home runs? Seriously. Oh, Tom's not here anymore. But these are the leaders for home runs right now. Aaron Judge, Mike Moustakas, George Springer, Cody Bellinger, Chris K. Davis, Logan Morrison, Joey Votto, Marcelo Zuna, Justin Smoke, Giancarlo Stanton. That's crazy, Mike Moustakas. Oh, he looks like he's constipated. I wish you guys could see his photo, his thumbnail photo. He looks like there's a log that he can't get out of his butt. All right, so this will be about do it for the after show. I don't know what the topics we covered here were, but I just want to say go. I'm pissed that Joey Votto didn't beat Ryan Zimmerman. Fuck Ryan Zimmerman. Ryan, I love you.